because they feel really awkward about it. Feel like, oh, the people are going to feel like I'm just trying to make sure that they're giving so the church has enough money, or I'm going to make them feel guilty so that they give, and the pastor dreads talking about it, and the people hearing it dread talking about it. They don't want to hear about it. Like, but I'm excited today to talk to you about freedom in giving, because this is a really, really cool thing. Really cool thing that we have here. This passage is an absolute favorite of mine. I love reading through it because it's full of promises, it's full of joy and expectation in God. But before I get into it, I actually want to connect it to a few weeks ago, because if you were here 3 weeks back, I concluded a series on the different covenants. So we looked at the Abrahamic covenant, Davidic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and in the fourth message about those three covenants, I sort of summed them up and taught how the different covenants either go forward and have changed or still have a future in the present time this side of the cross, or in the case of the Mosaic covenant, which was the law, how Jesus fulfilled, he completely fulfilled the law. And so in the New Testament, we're not taught to obey the law anymore, any of the law. We're free from all of the different requirements of the law, and that includes tithing. That includes tithing. So the principles, I'll tell you what the principles are in the New Testament. The principles that you see embodied in some parts of the law continue through. Like, there are moral principles. Giving is a principle in the Old Testament. It's a principle that, that needs to be part of people's lives in the Old Testament. There were laws specifically mandating what your giving was to be. In the New Testament, we don't have those laws, but the principle of giving goes on, and so we'll see what the principle of giving looks like in the New Testament. The Ten Commandments actually don't go on, although all the principles in the Ten Commandments go on, except for one, which was not validated in the New Testament, and that was keeping of the Sabbath. Keeping of the Sabbath. We're free from that, because actually the Sabbath is Saturday. If you think you're here keeping the Sabbath today, you're not, because the Sabbath is on Saturday. It's specifically on Saturday, not a different day. So we worship on Sunday, and the New Testament specifically says that that's okay. So there's freedom from the law in the Old Testament, but many principles from the law that we see continue through, and that's because they come out of God's heart. They come out of God's heart. So we're going to look at the biblical principles in the New Testament for giving today, and I'm really excited to talk about this because it's really cool. I hope that you guys find it as cool as I do. So next slide, please. But the first verse to understand is that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject to a yoke of slavery. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. In other words, any idea that you have that you're supposed to be continuing to follow the law, you have to dismiss that idea, because in the New Testament, everything is different. There might be moral principles you get from looking at the law, and the law is valuable. It's scripture. It's worthy of study. It's worthy for us to understand what the law says, but we don't have that law to obey anymore because it was fulfilled. It was completely fulfilled in Jesus. It was fulfilled in Jesus. And don't even make a law unto yourself that I will do this or I will not do this, or somebody has said I should do this or I should not do this and prescribe a law to you. We're not to be under law. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, understand the will of God, like Ellie was talking about. Understand what he wants you to do. Understand from him, in relationship with him, what he wants you to do, right? And that could be something that could change in the moment. It could change to changing circumstances in the moment. So have this in mind. We'll see it again, I think, a little bit later. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, do not keep standing firm and do not be subject again to yoke of slavery. There is no compulsion in the kingdom of God. Nobody in the kingdom of God is compelled to do one thing or another. We come to God as we are, and we have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, with the Father. He doesn't compel us to do this or that. We have the choice. Your choices are real choices. They have consequences, but they're real choices, and there's no compulsion in the kingdom of God. You're not compelled, as they were in the Old Testament, to follow the law. Like, you have to do that. That is obedience. You're out of line. But we don't have that in the New Testament. So we have freedom in Christ, but we have a salvation that's so rich and so powerful, and we've given ourselves to Jesus Christ that our lives really are gone to him. They're gone to ourselves. Our lives are his. So we live in a different mode where he's written his law in our hearts in terms of, like, he speaks into our hearts. And our understanding of morality is improved. It's drastically improved from Old Testament times because we have this relationship with the Father who has awakened us in our spirits to his spirit, in the presence of his spirit, and his ability to speak into our hearts. He wants to tune up our understanding of his character and then have us live according to his character. No, so not by a written law, but by his character. So think of today as an extension of what I was talking about with those covenants. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. And what we have now is freedom and other principles that I'll talk about. So there's this long passage, next slide, and I'm just going to read all the way through it. So it's about, 13 verses, something like that. Actually, not even that many. But I'm just going to read through it, and then I'm going to take it apart sort of by different topics that are enclosed in it, and you'll see how I develop that. So this is from 1 Corinthians. So Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, which was in Greece. And it was the second letter that we have that he wrote to them. Oh, it's actually, you should say 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. Sorry about that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is what he says. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Next slide. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. So I'm not going to go verse by verse so much as just take apart about six different themes that show up in this and show how the passage over and over again reinforces these different themes and then connect that with a few other things. So the first theme is that we truly have freedom in giving. We truly have freedom in giving. And so here's where you see that. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Just as he has decided, not as you were told, but as you decide. So you get to make this decision. It's your decision. You're not commanded to tithe. It's your decision. How much do you want to give? It was, again, here's this verse. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. This means that there's no more tithing because of the law. Because of the law. You can decide I'm going to give 10%. You can decide it's going to be 11 or 9. You can just decide. Just decide. There's no more tithing because of the law. Because of the law. Not because of the law. We don't do that because of the law. It is not reinforced as a command in the New Testament. Generosity and freedom are the new principles. Generosity and freedom are the new principles in the New Testament. So the next slide. The next principle. There is a law of the universe regarding what we sow in life. This is a law of the universe. And this is what it says. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6. This is basic context for our entire lives, this idea of reaping and sowing. It's very important to understand this because this is going on in our lives, whether we're intentional about it or not. We're sowing things in our lives, whether we're intentional about it or not, and we're reaping something back from what we've sown all the time through our lives. So whether that's righteousness, we sow righteousness, we reap righteousness. We sow to wickedness, reap wickedness. Whether it's grace, unforgiveness, and those are opposites, so I've got these in kind of paired in opposites, grace or unforgiveness, give grace to people, sow grace, you'll have grace in return. Unforgiveness, you'll see that increase in your life. Generosity or stinginess, prayer, prayerlessness, unity versus disunity, hope or hopelessness. You sow one of these things. If you sow hope, you're going to have increasing hope. If you sow hopelessness, you're going to have increasing hopelessness in your life. It's just a law of the universe. What you sow, you will reap. Now I say this, one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. If you sow grace sparingly, grace will increase in your life in only a sparing way. If you sow with a spoon, you'll reap with a spoon. If you sow with a shovel, you'll reap with a shovel. If you sow with a truckload, you'll reap with a truckload. And that's in either direction. So this is just principle. And this is just like, this is providing context for you. How much am I going to give? I'm going to decide. I'm going to consider this principle, and then I'm going to decide. And so with regard to giving, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. Okay, third principle. God supplies all our needs. So he makes promises here. He will provide all your needs. So in context of our giving, it's like it's a guarantee that with regard to giving and our financial situation, he's going to provide all our needs. He's made promises. He's obligated himself to provide for you. So here we have the one who sows generously will also reap generously. If you're generous, like you don't have anything to worry about. There's a law at work in the universe that God's going to pay attention to. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, in other words, everything that you need, you'll always have sufficient. You'll have the things that you need, it'll be sufficient. Always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. So the sower here and we'll develop this a little bit more. The sower is the one who's sowing in generosity toward others. But what this verse says is, now he who supplies seed to the sower, in other words, something that you can scatter in the field, that which you give out generously, and bread for food. So there's a passage where this guy comes to Jesus and he's rich. And he says, what must I do to be saved? And eventually Jesus' answer is, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. Well, that guy was really rich, and he walked away sad because he wasn't willing to do that. Right? He wasn't willing to do that. But he didn't understand that God gives some of what we have to be scattered, to be sown, right? So some of what we give is seed, and some of it is bread. Now, some people look at that and say, well, from that passage with that guy, God wants us to give everything that we have away to the poor and be poor and follow him. But there's a lot of other teaching about money. And that was God, Jesus addressed that guy in that way because he was rich and he had a money problem. He had a money problem. Jesus' prescription for people who are generous is not to get rid of all that you have and follow him. It's to sow what he's given you to sow and understand that some of what he's given you is bread. You don't plant your bread in the ground. You eat your bread. You sow your seed. You don't gobble up your seed. If you have a bunch of seed and you're meant to sow that, but you just end up eating it, that's just gluttony and greed, right? So understand the difference for yourselves. Understand in communicating with the Lord, understand what the Lord is distinguishing for you as seed to be sown versus your bread that you're to eat. And you're not to feel guilty about the fact that he's given you bread to eat. He may give you really good bread to eat. May give you beef to eat. I don't know. But just understand the difference. He gives both. One's for giving away and one's for your sustenance. But he provides both of those things. He provides both of those things. Just don't get them mixed up. The fourth principle, God provides so that we are able to give generously. In other words, you can't outgive God. And that's reflected in this. The one who sows generously will also... And God is able... the one who sows generously will also reap generously. So if you sow generously, and this is for the purpose of giving and giving even more, if you sow generously in the area of giving, you'll reap generously. But what you reap may include a lot more seed to sow and some bread. And you have to understand what comes in needs to be distinguished as what's seed for additional sowing and what's bread. So you see how all of these things make it clear how important it is for us to be walking with the Lord and understanding with our finances and with our generosity, what's the Lord saying to me? It's not according to a law. It's not according to a rule. No, it's just we have a relationship with the Lord. And then this, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, in other words, the things you need for your sustenance, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And in this context, the good deeds are what you're giving. So God will provide so that you have an abundance to give even more. Like he'll multiply what you're able to give so that you can give even more. Next slide, please. And then this is the same principle. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Like how much more clear could that passage be? He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Some of what we get is for sowing. If we sow into that, he'll provide even more. He will supply and multiply your seed. Not just increase, but multiply. And now, and then again, we give in faith. We take trust in God. We put trust in God. Say, okay, I'm going to give. Well, if you're sowing and you're a farmer, you put the seeds in the ground, and it's weeks, it's months before you see the increase of that. So it's not instantaneous that when you give, that you're going to see immediately a return or a multiplied return. It's not going to happen. Not necessarily going to happen though. It might, but it might not, because crops that go in the ground, they take a while to mature, and then there's a harvest time when it all comes in. So just remember, like, God's in charge of the timing. You get to decide in your heart when you want what you want to give. You get to decide. It's just you get to decide. Back to that slide. Finish reading this verse. Will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. And in this passage, liberality occurs a couple times, and liberality is generosity. It's like being liberal in your giving, and in your generosity. That's what that's saying. So again, it's reiterating the same thing. You will be enriched in everything for liberality. So this isn't about getting rich. This isn't about, oh, I've given, and like, wow, my giving's really like picked up speed, and God's done what he said. He's increased the amount of money that's coming through, so you know more and more money is coming through, or whatever it is you're giving, more money's through, and now I'm going to put a dam on that and make a lake. Like, no, it's not for, like, then you're not distinguishing what was seed for sowing and what's bread, right? So it's not about making a lake, it's not about putting a dam in front of that flow, because that just cuts the flow off. And it's important not to cut the flow off. Fifth principle, generosity glorifies God. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for all the liberality and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. So what Paul's referring to here is that Paul and some of the other brethren that were with him were administering these gifts, right? They were receiving from a church, like in Macedonia, they were receiving from churches these generous gifts that people had by agreement gotten together and said, when they come, we'll give this to these guys so they can take care of the persecuted believers over in the Palestinian area, right? Over in the area of Egypt at the east end of the Mediterranean. And so Paul, the whole purpose of this passage, and it's a part of a longer discourse that starts in 2 Corinthians 8 and goes through this passage and a little bit further in chapter 9, is about arranging this gift and helping people understand correctly about giving and be prepared to get this gift ready for them, and so that they understand fully that it's up to them. They can decide how much they want to give, but be ready, because we'll come and we'll get that gift, and they're administering that gift, and it's resulting in glory to God. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. The people on the receiving end of this, and actually the people involved in administering this, Paul and the other brothers, are giving thanks to God For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. So it gives glory to God. People give glory to God. And I'm betting that there's people in Romania from the Roma people and the Ukrainians who are giving glory to God because of the giving that allowed Elia and the team to go over there and do that. So there's glory, there's thanksgiving being given to God and glory to give. And there's what, 27 salvations, 24 salvations, something like that? 28? Yeah, 27 people giving glory to God as they have never done in their lives because of this. Right? So this results in glory to God. And then the sixth principle, the gospel is inherently generous. The gospel is inherently generous. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. Right? So our obedience to our confession of the gospel of Christ is one of, like, God has given this salvation to us, and we're going to immerse ourselves in this gospel, and that's our mode of obedience, is to immerse ourselves in freedom into this gospel, and obedience looks like doing that. It looks like going into those deep waters, like, and abandoning our sense of ourself in that, or our necessity to take care of our own needs, abandoning ourselves to the provision of the Lord. That's our obedience. It's not obedience according to the law, because what the New Testament says, the law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. That's in Romans. The law of life in Christ Jesus. So our law is one of life in Christ Jesus, not one of words on pages. It's not words on pages for us. Our law is life in Christ Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And then this, which is from Ephesians, just reiterates that, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He's rich in mercy to us. And he's made these extravagant promises to us that he will provide for our necessities. He'll provide for us to be able to give. He'll give us seed for sowing. No matter how much that is, if you identify it as seed, it's for sowing. And all of us have some of that all the time. And he will increase our ability. If we're faithful with a little, we'll receive more. Faithful with a little, get more. And that's the principle here. And he's made promises. This passage is full of promises that he'll back up what he says. If you're generous, you'll reap generosity. If you're stingy, you'll reap stinginess in your heart and maybe even from people around you. So sow with a shovel, sow with a truckload. But I'm not here to guilt you. You just decide, right? You're free to decide. So have conversations. If you're married, have conversations about what you're going to do with this, right? And then just decide. And be confident in your hearts that your decision is in your freedom, and it's in Christ. And it's fine, and it's a good decision, right? Because there's no guilt. People don't give sometimes because of greed, and they don't give sometimes because of fear. And this passage does away with both of those. So you don't have to have fear, and you don't have to have greed. This passage does away with those. Like, they're not part of the equation, because the promises overcome those things. The promises overcome those things. And then the last slide, or this next slide, I'm going to read through the passage again, because I want you to hear it again, having seen that these different principles are all in there, and just hear it all at once, and just soak in the freedom that is in this passage. Just read it and enjoy and marvel at what God has done in this area of giving. Like, nobody would have imagined that you could be completely free. It's like, God's not prescribing this. He's not saying you have to do this. It's like, he's put it in your hands, in your relationship with him. You just get to decide. So listen with that in mind. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. For it is, as it is written,
he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for all the liberality of your contribution to them and to all.
Amen. Glory to God for that incredible word. So the last slide here. So I have challenges here. Six challenges, and then a seventh, really one. Rethink your giving from top to bottom. Just start from scratch. Just rethink your giving from top to bottom in light of your actual freedom from the law. The law of sowing and reaping. It's good context for any of this thought. God's infallible promises to provide for your needs. God's promise to increase your ability to give. The glory God receives through our provision for others. The inherent generosity of God in Christ. And then, as it says, each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So evaluate those things. Just rethink your giving from top to bottom. This is a challenge. There's six different things here, and maybe you've got a wrestling match with one or other of these that I've never, like, you know, I've never taken this promise that seriously. I've never realized that this was a promise that I really should be banking on. There's precious promises. Let's go and run on the validity of those promises. The promises of God. He's not going to fail. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart. So just make a decision. What are you going to give? Who are you going to give to? Give to the church? I've said before, I don't care if you give to this church. God is going to provide for our needs. Give to something. There's lots of great ministries out there. Youth with a Mission is one. It's Gospel for Asia that supports native missions in their own countries. Advancing Native Missions, Voice of the Martyrs. I mean, there's countless. There's thousands of ministries out there that you can give to. You know, pray. Find the ones that God's put on your heart and pray more, and then find out how much he wants you to give to those. And then pray for those ministries. And just, you know, those people, like, you get the newsletters back, and the people that they're ministering to are giving glory to God because of the generosity. Like, they don't have to know it's you. Nobody has to know it's you. Nobody really even is supposed to know it's you, right? So, but just decide. And that's why I love this message. It's like, in the end, like, you're free. And there's no guilt here. There's no guilt in the room at all in any of this. Like, you just get to decide. Decide how you're going to respond to the amazing promises of God and the generosity that he's shown you. And that's not by way of guilt. I'm not saying God's been generous, now you give. Like, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying he has been generous. So let's, and because we can, and because he's made with these promises, and because there's joy and glory, we can give, and we can give fearlessly, and we give confidently that what we give when we decide in our heart, God's pleased with that. He's delighted when people have freedom of choice. He came for us to have freedom. It was for freedom you were set free. It was for freedom you were set free. So in Jesus' name, that is my challenge to you. Father, we thank you for your amazing promises. There are so many of them, and they're so rich and deep. They're worthy of meditation, and for us to just go out with wild abandon on these promises and go for you and to hear you and give us awareness of what is seed for us and what is bread, and let us enjoy the bread without guilt and sow the seed with joy.